Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and joining me this week, I have my good friend, Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk.
Good to be here. Thank you.
No, thank you as always. It's good. We've got a big show. This week, we were treated to another indie showcase by Nintendo. They dropped on us a little suddenly, as they like to do, a bit of a shadow drop. They covered, I don't know how many games they covered, actually. Do you know off the top of your head? I can't remember, 15 or so?
Yeah, I would say maybe a little less than 15 on like for full attention and then a bunch of things thrown on there at the end.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about a 21-minute clip, which you can check out on YouTube if you like. And we'll go through some of the highlights. We've tried a couple of them. Some of them are out now. Some of them have demos. But it's a nice mix. And we'll give you our thoughts as well as games we're playing this week. And we'll talk about a few sales that are coming up. It's that time of year, I think, that, you know, Black Friday and all that. But to start things off, let's talk about that indie showcase. And I mean, it's like a mini direct, really. I kind of like these little videos they put out. And we, you know, at Pure Nintendo, we do love supporting indie titles, right, Kirk? We review a lot of indie games. I think it's very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of my favorites each year always end up being indie games.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's so true. So they started things off with one of, I guess, a series that I really like, which is Shantae. Are you a Shantae fan at all?
Can I be a fan of something without having ever played a game?
Sure.
Yeah, every time I look at a Shantae game, I think it looks great and it looks like fun, but I have never played one.
Wow, okay. There you go. Well, maybe you can try this one when it comes out next year.
I might.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played all of them, that's for sure. And I think I was into it kind of late in the game. I think the series has been around a fair while, actually. And it's from, is it from Way Forward Games? They make Shantae, don't they, I believe?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So Shantae Advance, Risky Revolution, which is apparently an unfinished sequel from the Game Boy Advance era, which I think is like 20 odd years ago. This game was shelved. Now they're bringing it back to life, which is pretty cool, I think. And yeah, so it's a platforming adventure, as Shantae tends to be. And there's got animal transformations, level changes, which is a little bit like a Wonder Seed. Did you get that impression?
I don't know if I did, but yeah, I guess no. So. Because they are talking about manipulating the environment to change the puzzle. So
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's cool. It's very 2023. And yeah, so
and they had this idea all the way back on the Game Boy Advance.
They did.
But they were well ahead of the curve.
I know. That's right. And there's new battle mode, which is a new feature for the series, as far as I know. I guess it's like a little extra kind of mode they've thrown in where you can battle each other. I'm not sure how I feel about that particularly. It looks like a fun little distraction, I suppose, like Smash Brothers Lite, maybe. Saying that, I think there was a bit of a petition or at least talk on the internet about Shantae being in Smash Brothers a few years ago. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I do. I do remember there was a push for that. And is there an amiibo? Is there a Shantae amiibo?
Not that I know of. That would be cool, though. Maybe. Maybe there is. I could be wrong. I don't have everyone. I definitely don't. Hey, you know what? There is. I think there is. That's cool. I'm going to see if that's real, but it looks like from a quick Google that it might be real. Yeah, so Shantae's been around, yeah, ages. It's a very popular series. Platforming, she's a genie. She can do these cool costume changes and chose different weapons. The game, the one that I reviewed a few years ago for the Switch, I can't remember which one it was, Risky's Revenge, I think. And there's some really cool enemies in these games, really cool boss fights as well. But they usually, there's a very strong puzzle mechanic to them. It's not just platforming, straight platforming. It's also there's a puzzle element that you have to solve. So I'm really excited about this one. And I think it was a good opener for the showcase because it is, you know, a long running series that's quite popular. So we'll see how that turns out. But it was good to see kind of the developers talking to this one a little bit, as well as a few others later on during the showcase. You know, how a couple of them had interviews. And it's one of the things I like to see where it's a bit of a, you know, they're passionate about their projects and you can, when you hear from them directly, you feel that energy and that passion that come through. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe they mentioned that they're bringing back the or brought back the original dev team to complete the game.
That's right. So they
I thought
did.
That was nice. And I also thought they looked far too young to have been developing a game for the Game Boy.
That is true. Yes, I agree. They did. but yes, definitely one to watch out for. So that was a really cool opener. And yeah, we'll stay tuned. I don't think there was a date. It was just 2024. But yeah, I'm always keeping an eye out for Shantae releases because they are such fun, colorful titles with really, really interesting characters. So yes, Kirk, I definitely think you should try one. Maybe before this one comes out, you should give it a go if you can.
Okay. Well, we'll be talking about sales a bit later today, yes. So we'll see which ones are on sale and take it from there.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. So the next one that they mentioned in the showcase was something called Core Keeper, which is a summer 2024 release about subterranean adventures. There's lots of pets and battles to keep you busy. Had you heard of this one before? I hadn't. I have to admit, I hadn't heard of any of these titles before the showcase. Had you?
No, I hadn't heard of it, but I will say that when they first started showing the video in the showcase, I really liked the way it looked. I thought the lighting was really cool throughout the whole thing. It looks like he's carrying a torch and it's casting shadows around as you're going through these dungeons and hiding certain elements and then finding them as they actually come into view. So I thought it looked cool.
It does. I love that light element as well. And I had the same thought. I think this is one that because I watched it with my youngest, he's 10, and he and I were watching it together. And this is one that he was straight away like, oh, that looks good. I think he really liked the pet side of things. He loves anything with animals. And but yeah, it looks like because it's subterranean, so it's set underground. And just that cool lighting effect where only part of the screen is well lit and the rest is kind of darker, very torch-like. So yeah. Definitely interesting. I don't know if it's a roguelike or if it's, yeah, the theme seemed to be of this particular showcase seemed to be a little bit kind of these kinds of games a little bit. Did you think?
Maybe. Yeah. I do remember that they said the levels are procedurally generated.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's usually true. A staple of roguelike games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by the variation or the separation between, like, there's farming, a whole bunch of farming elements, which usually tend to be single player things. But then they also talked about this involving up to 8-player online multiplayer. Yeah. So I'd be interesting to see how they split that, like whether all the farming is, you know, you do this on your own. And then when it comes time to go into a dungeon after you've gotten all the elements that you need to create the better weapons, armor, or whatever the push is for that, then you go online, join other people and do the exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Up to 8 players online. That's a really nice touch. I like that. Definitely. I think, yeah, if you're doing exploration and maybe battles, having friends or helpers to assist would be ideal. But yeah, the style looks very cute and cartoony. It's a top-down kind of style. I actually really love the style. It's kind of that 16-bit, but very bright and vibrant and detailed, I suppose. Sort of like the Super Nintendo used to be, but like in 2023, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, little very modern cool. touches on old style graphics.
Yeah. Yes. That's a very good way of putting it. Thank you. Yeah, so definitely looking forward to seeing more about Core Keeper. Next up was one called On Your Tail, which is some sort of life sim with sleuthing elements. So at first I thought this was a detective story, and it is. There's detective elements to it, but it's not solely that, which at first I thought it was. I'm like, oh, this is – and I've only just gotten into detective kind of genre, Kirk, because of Detective Pikachu. So I haven't really played a whole lot of these games in the past, but now that I've got a taste for it with Detective Pikachu Returns, I'm like, ooh, a detective game, that sounds kind of fun. So, but it's more like a sim as well. Like you're in the Italian countryside over summer, or seaside, I suppose, really, over summer enjoying a vacation, and there's some kind of mystery that you need to solve. Oh, and the other thing is that everyone are like humanoid cat people. So
yeah, like what is the anthropomorphic, is that the word we use?
Yeah.
The human bodies and animal heads.
Yes, Yes, exactly. Like that one you played a little while ago, with Cats vs. Dogs or whatever. Remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although that, yeah, that one, this one leads more into it. Those people still had like human faces, but would have like a dog and cat ears and tails.
Oh, okay. Yeah, true. Yep. So this is even more down that path.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that this is made by, I believe, an Italian developer, mm-hmm. because the two who were interviewed there were speaking Italian. And, you know, this is obviously very passionate for them because that's something they are very familiar with in terms of the location and all those sort of details. So I kind of love seeing that element as well and sharing it with the rest of the world. So that is On Your Tail. Next is one that is actually out right now, and this one is called Howl. And it's a turn-based tactical folktale. And I think we both have tried this one. In fact, you're reviewing it, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Have you started it yet?
Yes, I have started it. I have not completed the first level yet, but I've played maybe a dozen puzzles or so.
Oh, cool. Yep. So you're probably similar to me because I'm playing the demo. And so you're doing like chapter one, is it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the demo seems to be most of chapter one. I've got to the point where it's saying, thank you for playing the demo. And I've done maybe, yeah, like eight levels. There's a couple more. There's a few branching branching pathways.
Yep.
That you would, yeah. So I can do some other levels that have branched off, but the path that I've taken, I have completed. I can't go any further. And this is, the first thing that struck me with this one, and I want to hear your thoughts so far as well, was the art style, because it's very different. It's sort of hand-drawn, I guess, right? And light, it's very light in terms of color use, right? It's sort of browns and oranges, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like has a watercolor effect to it. So as you... like the board is set up with, it all takes place in a forest and it's on a grid, right? So you have trees on some grids that you can't go through, and then there are other objects. But as you go through and choose your path, which is how you, you're supposed to reach the objective at the end, and you can move a certain number of blocks at a time, then it sort of like paints it a little bit, like brings a little bit more color, or, you know, depending on if there's a battle and you're attacked, then there'll be like blood splattered on as if it was painted onto the grid. So... it looks a little bit like kind of got a storybook kind of feel to it, the visuals.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely. So, and the premise is interesting. It's the Howl is kind of a curse, I guess. They're like werewolves, really, these people who are cursed, and the Howl is the noise they make that affects other people, I guess, and turns them into some kind of wolf creature. Is that what you got from it? Yeah. And there's voiceover work, which is really nice. I thought that was quite good. And I've
like a narrator again with like the picture book kind of feel. It's kind of like you read the story as you progress through it. There's a narrator kind of telling the tale behind what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's really nice. It's certainly a pretty game. Very lovely to look at. My first impression playing it, I did find a little tricky to pick it up at first. I didn't really know what I was doing, despite the kind of on-screen instructions. I didn't find it very clear. But once I worked it out, I was getting into the rhythm. And, you know, you have limited moves, I suppose. You know, you can move. I did like how there's kind of a, I don't know what they call it, at the bottom of the screen, you can fill your sort of set of moves with up to like three or four moves or whatever it is, and then you can increase it as you go. Like you can unlock more moves, so you can attack, you can move, you can there's like a push thing, like a and once I worked out how that all worked, I was like, oh yeah, this is cool, because sometimes there are more enemies than you have arrows, you know, weapons. So how do you get past them? There's obviously a turn, like it's a turn-based style, but there's like a certain number of moves that you should do to, like, a, what do you call it, they call it a prophecy, but it's like a par, you know, in golf, you have like a par three. They want you to do it in three. Yeah.
To reach the end level within a certain, because you're given rewards based on what you do. For eliminating all the enemies, you get a skull for each one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember what it's called. Like you get a little star, but it's something you accumulate and then you can use to upgrade.
Yeah. It's called, is it like an enchantment or something? Something.
Yeah. Something interesting. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I only did one level on par, like 4 out of 4 or whatever. The rest, quite over, but you can replay them. So there's, it seems like there's a bit of replayability in there as well.
In fact, it's kind of built in because they even say that the first time you play a level, it may be impossible to get everything. And so they expect you to go back. But the weird thing is, you know, because you need to collect, say, a certain number of skulls in order to unlock a path later on. So if you're playing to hit par, as you said, to get, you know, to finish it in 3 out of 3 turns, it's impossible to do if you want to also get all the skulls. But then you go back and replay the same level and focus on the skulls, take as much time as you want. You know, you go, it ends up taking, say, 6 turns instead of 3. Then it still, it accumulates everything. So it'll say, okay, it took you 2 times. That's, you're not punished for that, but now you've got everything and you can go on. So it's not like you have to get everything in one go. You can get all the skulls in one time and then get all the stars, I'll call them.
Yeah.
The second time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's good. It's a good way to do it. I mean, I'm only doing the demo and I've pretty much finished that, but your early stages as well, what's your impression, your initial impression?
I like the puzzles. I like that it literally is, it's, I mean, you look at it and they talk about it being a turn-based battle game, and in a way it is, but everything is very isolated. So you get like one puzzle, this many enemies, here they are. And the trick to the game is there are 2 ways to play it. One being a little easier, but you kind of stack up your moves based on how you think it's going to, how the enemy's going to move and where they're going to be. So you move up, down, and say, okay, after I do this, because I should also preface up front with the movement system, you write out all your moves, but you don't execute them right away. You say, these are like, they say the 3 steps, 4 steps, depending on how far you are. Each time you move, then the enemy moves 1, and then your second move goes, and their second move goes. So you're trying to anticipate how they're going to react and where they're going to be, so you could set up attacks at the right time.
Yes.
It's hard. Yeah. They do say that the enemy will always target you, and I think they said it prefers to move horizontal if given a choice.
Yeah.
That's the only clue you get. But you can set up a mode where as you're drawing out your path, little arrows move and you'll see exactly what they're going to do. That makes the game a lot easier. But it also means you're spending a lot less time with trial and error. So you still have to figure out the right path. You're just able to eventually get there faster. And even then, it's only 1 set of moves at a time. So if you're using that mode, okay, so you took out this guy, but now you've still got 3 other people you got to take out. So there's still a lot of challenge to it either way.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite challenging. I had a really good, a successful level where I anticipated their moves really well. And like I pushed one of those wolf creatures into another one and it killed him, killed both of them straight away. So it was like 2 for 1.
Yeah. Yeah, that's satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah, very satisfying. Yes. And there's a little bit of like, it's, you know, for a cartoony or hand-drawn, I should say, not cartoony, for a sort of hand-drawn art style, storybook style, you know, when you are attacked yourself or when an enemy perishes, there is a lot of blood in the vicinity. So it's a little bit, not graphic exactly, but it's not, you know, it's not for like super young kids or anything, but it's, yeah, it's interesting. And I definitely want to hear. Yeah, sorry.
Say if this is like a fairy tale or a storybook, then it's one of the old German ones upon which the Disney versions are based.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good analogy, yes. So I look forward to hearing your full thoughts once you're done with the game. So, yeah, keep us posted on that. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about HAL?
Yeah, 2 more things, I think. First, sure. I completely agree with you on the tutorial. They don't really do anything to help you get started. You're just kind of, now the first level, of course, you're just moving, but then after that, a lot of the options really aren't clear. You kind of figure it out as you go along.
Yeah.
Including there's one thing where when you're at the point where you can upgrade, with the various items you've collected, there's one is an option where it says like a restore or something. And I think I hit that and I have no idea what it did, but it took away 10 of my items. And I still have no idea what that was. And I'm mad at myself because I feel like I wasted, you know, lost a lot of my upgrade ability because of this. And no clue. There's like no, you know, usually you get like an encyclopedia or something you can go back to where they'll tell you certain things about the game, but it's just not there. So There is that. And I wanted to ask if you got to the point where you have to save villagers by moving through them.
I saved one. Yes, I saw one in one level and saved them. But I don't know what that did, actually, now that you mention it. I saved them and then I've not done anything since then that I can remember.
I'm not sure what it does either. But the reason I ask is because there was one, maybe it was the first or the second one I did, where it just seemed to me like it was completely impossible to get to the person in time.
I
stared at that screen forever. I tried a few different things. There was nothing I could do. So I'm hoping that eventually I'm going to get an ability, like, you know how the wolves have the ability to jump over objects or attack you from far away, that maybe eventually I'll get that ability and then I can go back. And if that's the case, then, you know, there may be quite a bit of backtracking between the levels as you get new abilities. So we'll see about that.
Yeah. And I agree with you on the upgrade thing. I forgot that I did that. I did upgrade something and I have no idea what it was. it took me to a screen. It said upgrade. I'm like, okay, upgrade. I don't know what happened. I just don't know. So
I think the first one I got was the ability to push more than one square.
Oh, okay. Is that the force thing?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's called force and I haven't used it yet. I didn't really, I sort of, again, with the tutorial, it said something about using it and then I didn't remember how to do it. So I just did my usual push and that worked. So I don't know. But yeah, I'll have to go back in and keep. There's a few more levels I can do, even though I've reached the end. Like I said, there's a few other pathways I can take to try a few more levels. So I might go back and finish that off. But yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed feelings with that one, but it certainly looks nice. It certainly has a very unique and lovely style to it. And I definitely was getting into it, like, the more I played it. And once I got those move sets kind of down a bit, like I said, it was very satisfying to kind of attack properly and pass the level more successfully. So perhaps it keeps getting better. But yes. Anyway, a lovely little game. And the next one is called The Star Named Eos, which again, this was an interesting one. This had a photo element, like a photography element, didn't it? So it's got I think it's a narrative adventure puzzle. So yeah, I guess I said the theme was those kind of top-down sim sort of games, RPGs or whatever. But there's quite a few Sims or detective-y stories in this as well. So this is another one of those types, and it looks like it's a visual novel, very interesting looking graphics again, kind of very nice art style that's semi-real but semi-cartoony at the same time. But the photographic element was what stood apart in this particular one. And I think the developers spoke again and they were very, that was their focus. They wanted to make something quite different that uses the camera kind of mechanic. And it's all about uncovering the truth in the story of the game. It's uncovering the truth about your mother's absence, and photos unlock clues. So this one comes out in spring 2024. And yeah, it looks really interesting. It is a hand-drawn kind of art style, very story heavy with puzzle elements. Did you have anything to say about that one?
Yeah, I thought it kind of looked like your typical puzzle adventure game to me. Except as they mentioned that instead of like clicking on things and adding them to inventory, you're using your camera and taking photos of them, and then that unlocks details about what happened at that event.
Mm-hmm.
And as you take photos of things, you're able to add them to your inventory and then be able to use them. Or no, you're adding them to a picture book, which sort of tells the tale of as you're moving along. So you're finding the right things to photograph and then doing it and unlocking items with it. So yeah, it sounds like it has a unique take on it. And I'm a fan of adventure games, this kind of thing. So I'll be curious to see how this all comes together.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Very interesting looking title. They all have a very, there's the collection itself across the board is really, I guess it's unique. You know, they've really handpicked some very interesting titles. The next one is another, case in point. It's called Backpack Hero. This one is definitely a roguelike. So it's similar to that Core Keeper. But this one, the kind of unique part of it is that it's all about your backpack. So you're a little hero going and collecting, I think they said hundreds or thousands of items. There's lots of things to collect. It's a collectathon. But it's all about organizing your backpack to unleash its potential. This one's actually out now as well, I think. But it's, the different side of things where they're like, oh, let's just make it, what happens if you organize your backpack this way, right, as opposed to just normally fitting things in and going to battle.
Yeah, it's like, what do they, like, inventory Tetris, is that how they refer to it with, say, the Resident Evil game, where you had that tiny little chest that you had to store things in that you could use, and so you had to manipulate everything a certain way to get as much in it as you could, and now they've made that a core mechanic of the game.
Yeah. It certainly looks interesting. It does. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say without trying it to know if it is good, but it definitely looks interesting. And these characters are all animorphic kind of as well, so that's another similar kind of theme we've got going here. But my son definitely thought this was a good one. He's like, oh, I want to try that. I'm trying to think which one was his favorite, because he was disappointed it wasn't out till next year. It might have been that Call Keeper, because it was summer 2024. He's like, oh, it's not out yet, dang it. Yeah, anyway. The next one is called Blade Chimera, and this one looks pretty cool. It's sort of a side-scrolling platformer action adventure kind of thing. It looks a little like a Metroid-ish. I think it is a Metroidvania, right? Like, it's a Metroid style. Yeah, it looks that way. Yeah. Yeah, and the sword, what does the sword do? Now that I can't remember. It has something cool. It's like, is the demon in the sword or something like that?
It like has the ability to call up elements, like I don't know if it's things from the past or whatever, so if you need, you can't like jump to a certain area, the sword is somehow able to create like a stairwell that you can use to get up higher onto things, that, or at least that's what I took from the
The sword affects time somehow, doesn't it? It's like you can slow things down, or no, you can change the past. Yeah, you can bring back different elements that were there in the past. Yeah, which is a really cool mechanic, I think. So that one actually looks quite interesting. That's spring 2024, so we'll keep an eye out on that one. Another one that was mentioned was one called A Highland Song, and this similar to the one that was set in Italy, this is set in Scotland, and it seems very close to home for the developers again, where it's exploring the mountains of Scotland, which can be both, I suppose, beautiful and treacherous. And one thing, or a couple of things that stood out to me at least, was that I guess the music is a highlight in terms of it's very Scottish folk music driven. So, if you love that kind of area of the world, I think it will feel lovely to play and to hear that kind of soundtrack at the same time. But the other part was that the narrative builds based on the route that you take. So it seems like it's very much, it looks in the trailer very platformy, and that you're side-scrolling left to right kind of thing, but it seems like there's different paths and the story will actually follow that path that you take. So could be alternate kind of endings, could be alternate pathways, that kind of thing. What did you think about that? Did you have anything that sort of captured your attention in terms of the Highland Song?
Yeah, well, the visuals, of course. I think the landscapes, they're very much focusing on the beauty of the landscapes, and it looks great. For a 2D game, as you're, just kind of running along a plane, it seems to have a lot of depth and color, so I thought it looked good. The other thing that struck me is, I think of the games I play, and when Sophie, one of our writers here, my daughter, was younger, she used to enjoy, like, watching me play, but she didn't like the combat in those things. She always said that her favorite parts of these games are the running around, exploring, and just climbing upstairs.
Yeah.
So this game, it looks like, since your enemies are basically the weather so much, as opposed to any fighting that you're doing, now there may be some, but it looks like the focus is just on movement and getting from here to there and dealing with certain weather elements as you go along. So that this could be something that's right up her alley. So I think of most of the games that we saw in this is the one where I'm most intrigued to see how the whole thing comes together, because I really do like the look of it.
Yes, it certainly looks lovely. It definitely stands out in its style. Yeah, it looks really cool. What's that? That's out this year. That's out December the 5th, actually. So that's out very soon. So yeah, hopefully we'll hear more about that one in the coming weeks. Next up, and now this is the one, sorry, that my son was really interested in, because it's another creature collecting, deck building, dungeon crawling kind of game with 100 islands to explore, and it's called Moonstone Island. It's not out until spring 2024. And yeah, it's kind of that, again, that top-down style. You talk to kind of villagers, and I think this one was sort of an open world kind of feel, even though it's a top down kind of style, where you have to kind of make friends, brew potions, and definitely collect things, test your strength. There's, as I said, 100 islands to explore, so that's no small number. Collecting loot, upgrading things, uncovering secrets. I don't know if there's battles in this one. Didn't see if that was a thing. But it's kind of a sim dungeon crawler. I guess it must be some sort of battles if it's a dungeon crawler. But yeah, there's kind of a mining aspect to it. It's kind of got everything. And yeah, it looks pretty interesting. I'm definitely interested to see more about Moonstone Island. What did you think of that? Did you have any thoughts?
I thought it looked a lot like, minus the lighting effects, it looked like the Core Keeper game, as you mentioned.
Yes.
So, yeah, this one did really distinguish itself for me, but we'll see what it's able to do as I learn more about the game. You know, it's not going to be out until spring, so I'm assuming we'll be able to see a lot more than what we have so far.
Yeah, definitely.
In fact, the entry at Nintendo's site does not even contain a video. It's all just screen captures.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, you're right. It is just screenshots. There's no trailer. Even though we did see a trailer, didn't we, I suppose, during the showcase. Yeah, interesting. But it looks cute.
I think I just need to see more on this one. And honestly, the farming games aren't really my thing. I know they're very popular and people like them a lot. So, you know, for that group, this looks like a fun take on it.
Yeah, totally. I'm with you. I'm not hugely into Sims or farming titles. In fact, I'm not kind of at all into them. But when they mix it with something that is dungeon crawling, or there's boss battles, things like that, I can get more into it if it's only part of the game. So I'm interested to see how this will go. But yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. The next one is called Death Trick Double Blind. This one did catch my attention because, again, it has very unique art style, and it's a detective game. So it's another detective game, and it's set in a circus. And I believe were they Japanese developers, these two?
Maybe Chinese. It was
Chinese. They were Chinese.
Two friends.
Yes, and they were very adamant that they wanted something different and colorful, hence the circus setting. It's an investigative visual novel. The demo is out now, and the game isn't out till next year. I have tried the demo. Have you had a chance at all?
I did not.
Try this one? No. So I've given the demo a good go. I haven't even finished the demo. It's even after probably 2 hours I've played, and I'm still not at the end. I must be getting close. It's fun. It's really, as I said, I'm a little bit more into detective stories now than I was previously. The selling point for this, I think, is that there are two characters to play as, and you alternate between them. So you play as a magician who is coming into the circus to investigate the death of another magician. I'm not sure what her why she's doing that at this point, what her incentive is or motivation, just that she's there, she's investigating on her own, and she's kind of taking the place, as in literally disguising herself as this magician to fool the audience. The circus knows about it, obviously. The original magician has passed away. She's been murdered. There's a whole thing. The second story, or the second character that you play, is a private investigator. And you flip every hour. There's like a little clock. You get 1 hour, and I think you get like 5 action points. Once those 5 action points are used, then your hour is up and you switch to the other person. So you start off as the magician. You talk to the owner of the circus. You're finding clues. You're making assumptions and choosing your narrative, almost like you get to, it's a little bit not hand-holding exactly, but obviously at the very start of the game there are limited options because it's teaching you the mechanics, so you kind of have to choose certain elements, and if you choose the wrong one it will kind of tell you that's not appropriate here, kind of thing. I assume as you go further you will be less obvious. And then you switch to the detective who has just woken up behind the circus. He's been mugged. He's got no clothes. He's got no wallet. He doesn't remember the last few days. He slowly pieces together what's happening, and he's investigating, getting the same murder, the same disappearance of this magician, but from a private investigator angle. So it's very interesting. There's a lot of talking at this stage. There's a lot of character building and development. It's very interesting. So I'll, see where this one goes when it comes out. But the demo is out right now. So, if you're interested in detective games, I would suggest giving it a go for sure.
Are the two paths related? So, like, if the magician does something and uncovers clues, then the private investigator is able to use those, or are they two completely separate stories?
At this point, they're separate, because I noticed, for example, the magician has, you've got certain things you can do. There's like conversation elements, there's kind of action elements, and then there's a third one I can't remember. And so, for example, when you meet somebody, like the owner of the circus, this person is placed in your kind of toolbox and you can bring him up in another conversation. When I started with the detective, that person wasn't there. When he met the owner, then he was there. So you have to accumulate them separately, which is interesting. But even though the player knows what's going on with both of them, and I mean, I haven't interacted, these two haven't interacted yet, because even though I've played 2 hours in real life, it's only been, actually it's probably been 2 hours in game as well. But essentially it started at like 10 a.m. and now it's like midday in the game. And the magician was talking to the owner. Now she's in the backstage getting her costume. And now she's wandering around in the stables, meeting people and trying to work out what's going on. Meanwhile, the detective has woken up. You know, like I said, he was mugged. Then he's gone back to his hotel room after making a phone call to his secretary and finding out what's going on. And now he's going to meet the owner. So I should also say it's set in like, I don't know, the 1920s or something. It's set in the past, quite a long way in the past. So that's another interesting element. There's no phones, that sort of thing. So you can't rely on technology so much. Yeah. So interesting. But no, they don't seem to overlap at this point. It may change as you progress, but at this point, no.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, I think that'll do that. I will comment, though, that looking at the screen captures and having watched the video, I really like the visuals on this one, too. There's a lot of detail going on in the backgrounds and the characters that they've drawn in here.
Yeah, yes, definitely a lot of detail. It looks really nice. You know, there's not a lot of animation, I guess, because you're mostly static screens with text and the characters move as you're talking to them, but it's generally kind of like a visual novel or a point and click kind of story, you know, detective story. So there's not a whole lot of action in that respect, but yeah, it's very narrative driven. Interesting so far. So I'll play the demo to the end at least and see how we go. And we'll keep an eye out for that one next year as well. And the final one on the list of main indie titles was called Outer Wilds Archaeologist Edition. Now this is, this is a kind of port, I believe, right? It's already a game that's out on other systems, but you are traveling a solar system. I've written traveling the solar system. I don't think it's our solar system. I think it's a different solar system, but you're trapped in some kind of endless time loop. So it's interesting sci-fi kind of adventure. This one comes out December the 7th, so it's only a few weeks away as well. I had not heard of this before. Had you heard of this one?
No.
No. So new for both of us. And you can pre-order it now. It's actually on sale, I think. It's actually 21% off at the moment. But yeah, you're a new recruit. It's a space program and it's a strange, constantly evolving solar system. And you have to work out kind of what's going on in the background there. Why is it changing? What's the cause of it, etc. So it looks like an interesting kind of, I don't know what you would call this one. Is it a sim, action sim kind of thing? Adventure, yeah.
Yeah, I think they have it listed here on the shop as adventure, and I think I would go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So that kind of wraps up the Indie World Showcase for this this edition of the Indie World Showcase. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we move on to other games that we're playing?
Well, I think I was originally struck by how many of the games are not coming out until 2024. You would have thought that Nintendo would have been able to round up some that are coming out sooner, but then, you know, 2024 is a month and a half away. So, it's not like we're waiting that long for some of these games. Mm-hmm. Is it Outer Wilds? Is that the one that comes out next month? Is that a December game?
Yeah, that's okay. December. Yeah.
So there's one to look forward to at least that, you know, if you, any of these games struck your eye, but you don't want to put them off too long, then there's one you can go with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think at least one is out now, which is Howl.
Yeah.
Is that the only one? I think that's the only one. And there's two out this year, which is Outer Wilds and A Highlands Song out in December. And then, oh no, Backpack Hero is available now as well. So there's a few there. But yeah, it does sound still like a long time away, 2024. But I mean, spring is more like, when is that? That's like April, March.
Yeah,
April.
late March, early April, we'll call that.
So about 4 months. Yeah. So yeah, definitely a lot to look forward to over the next few months at least. And I mean, gosh, we're not short of games to enjoy at the moment, are we? So yeah, honestly.
Very true.
Yeah, I'm still playing Super Mario Wonder, still playing Dave the Diver. I haven't tried anything new this week apart from those two demos, to be honest. I'm still playing, Bish Bash Bots that I talked about last week. I've wrapped my review up, but I'm still playing it because my kids love it. So it's really fun. And that's the other thing we've been playing this week. And I know you've been playing a couple of games as well. Would you like to tell us about Grace? I'm not even going to pronounce this one. What is this? Grace of the Toily? What is this?
Yeah, however you say it, I'm going to say it because I have no idea either. I'll try to make it more French and go with Grace of Le Toit. How's
that sound? Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Le Toil, maybe. Grace of Le Toil is a game, Kemco JRPG, we've reviewed a few of lately. Trevor just wrapped one up. I'm going to have this one ready to go soon. And there's another game that came out, which is quite a bit different from the Kemco staple, which is these like retro JRPGs, sort of like the old timey Final Fantasy knockoffs. And that's very much what this one is, except each of their games, they tend to go with a different kind of battle system. They change up the way they're almost all turn-based battles, but they change the mechanics in each one of them. And this one borrows a bit from the Trails of Cold Steel games that have been released for the Switch, in that you can see a path that you know what order your characters and the enemy characters are going to be able to use their attacks or buffs or health, you know, the typical staples of turn-based battles. But there are little modifiers that will appear, and so like depending on when you go, an enemy may get a 30% enhancement to their magic attacks, or they may be able to restore some health. So what you try to do is manipulate the order in which you're going to go, and you have another gauge that you can fill up to 200%. And each time you use that to determine, okay, we're going to take this person and make her attack next. So you can push if the enemy's going to get a good buff, you can push them back and you get the buff or something, you know, along those lines.
Cool.
Which sounds pretty cool. We've seen that in some other games before, but you can only use that twice before the gauge is completely empty, and then you have to refill it again. And it takes a long time to refill unless you're timing your special attacks with it. It's kind of like a clock where you have special abilities and you drop them into a slot on a 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock kind of thing. As the battles are going on, this clock sort of moves. Like each time someone takes a turn, it goes from 1 to 2 to 3. And if it's on 3, right when you have a special attack that you can use on 3, then that fills up that gauge by a lot. So it's a very interesting mechanic in that it forces you to use your special attacks more than you normally would, because obviously you don't want to run out. But it also, kind of pushes you into using a little more strategy in, you know, who's going next. If I move someone now, will I be able to refill this gauge? There's an awful lot to think about as a result of this. The one drawback, and this is a complaint about most Kemco games, is that a lot of times you really don't need to worry about it because the battles are too easy.
Right.
And that's even before they do something great where they almost always have DLC where you can spend for $1.99, $2.99, it's nothing. The ability to gain experience twice as fast or three times as fast. You can spend $1.99 to get the ability to shut off random encounters. And this game has a lot of random encounters, which is fine. It helps you level up. But if you have to backtrack something, you don't want to just keep fighting all these battles that you know you're going to win because they're very simple. So you can turn them off. But even with the ability to enhance your experience a lot of times you just don't need it because the game's a bit too easy for the most part. But having said that, I'm a fan of these kind of games. And I think we mentioned off the broadcast last week that Kemco games. Oh, yeah. And Trevor mentioned this in his review. We've decided they're kind of like the pizza of JRPGs.
Oh, yeah.
In that, you know, it's not... it's still pizza, even if it's not exactly what you want. And it may be something you've had before, you played it, and it's very similar to something else. It's still enjoyable. You're still going to be satisfied at the end of it. So I'm looking forward to pushing. I spent maybe about 25 hours on the game so far.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to wrapping that up and getting the review up.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go wrong with pizza. It's like almost impossible to get it wrong, right?
Yeah.
There's rarely a bad pizza. There's good pizza and there's, you know, okay pizza, but yeah, interesting. I'm not a huge fan of random encounters personally. Like, it's not my favorite mechanic, but I mean, they have their place, right? So.
Yeah, and if these are throwback games where they're trying to capture a feel of, like I said, Final Fantasy 1 through 3 or games around there, then, you know, that's the way it was done back then. So, you know, they'll do it here too.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Cool.
The knock on these games, I think, though, also is that we've had games come out similar to this, like, say, Sea of Stars, which was released this year, or Chained Echoes, which brought so much new into it. And they were these big, epic games with these wonderful stories, and they were much more refined. So the Kemco games sort of pale in comparison to the other options that are available out there now for this exact kind of game.
Maybe it's like a Domino's Pizza versus something more high, you know?
Yeah, then we'll say, what are my local pizza places? Donna D's or Dorlo's.
There you go. Shout out to Donna D's.
No one outside of this area has ever heard of.
Yeah.
But that's how we all decide our favorite pizza, right? It's what we grew up with.
Yeah. Yeah, this is
the true. Local places are always the best.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. And is, you know, the name that we can't say, Le Trois or whatever it is that the name of a place in the game or a person? What is that?
I don't even know if that's been mentioned yet, honestly. Really? Like I said, I'm really far into the game. I know all the characters. I've gone to numerous places. Am I just completely missing what that is? It's all centered around these dolls. Like the characters are... The premise is there's this kid who goes out to try kind of like prove to his parents how strong he is, and he's going to go fight this monster, and his mom and dad come and save him and like completely take out this monster. It's like, wow, where did you get these abilities? But then the monster comes back to life and kills his parents.
Oh,
so he's dealing with this, him and his sister. This fella comes up to him, a weird guy approaches him in the woods and says, hey, you know, if you gather all these things from these like dolls I've created, basically, but they're like human sized movable dolls. They live and talk like humans, and they have special fighting capabilities. There are maybe 8 of them, I believe. And you have to take something from them, and then you could put all this together and you're going to get the ability to go back in time and save your parents. So the kid's all for this, but it's kind of clear that maybe the guy who's asking him to do this has more nefarious plans with what's going on here. And that's my long way of saying if that whole thing somehow ties into Le Toile, then I missed that connection.
Yeah. Okay.
So by the time I write the review, I'll have all that figured out, and I'll be able to you know, detail that for everybody who cares.
Cool. I mean, the story sounds good. It's a good premise. I like that.
Yeah. And it's more so than a lot of the Kemco games I played, the story is a little more unique, and the whole narrative, the way we're pushing things along, is interesting too. The characters, some of the dialogue is still kind of goofy, but the story itself and the characters are a little more effectively drawn out. And the relationships between them are more complex than what we normally get. So, I think that's one of the reasons I'm enjoying it.
Nice. That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you. I look forward to hearing your final thoughts when it's done and dusted. Okay. Next up is another one, another Kirk special, which is Long Gone Days. What's this one about?
This one has been out for a while. It came out October 10th, but I was just able to wrap up the review and post it this week. This is an RPG that's set in kind of like, we'll say an alternative history, Poland, Russia area. There's like this underground, mercenary group that is very powerful and is hired by nations to assist them in wars. And the main character in the game's name is Rourke. Has been with this, I think, from birth. He always trained to be a sniper in this group. And he finally gets the chance to go out on his first mission. and realizes at the end of it that he thinks maybe he's on the wrong side of this war, that he's the bad guy. They have him do some things that morally he objects to. He kind of passes out amongst the realization of what this is. He just can't take it. He ends up, you know, in a clinic with another fellow there who agrees to help him. Like, okay, if you don't want to go back to the front lines, then, you know, we can get you here. But somehow along the way, they both end up on the run from the group that they're supposed to be supporting. The medic a little more reluctantly. He's not happy about this whole situation. The other guy's like, no, I'm not going back there. These people are bad. So they end up behind enemy lines, and it sounds like it's going to be a big military game, and it is. There are two types of fighting going on in this, but a lot of it is actually now you're behind enemy lines in a foreign country where you don't speak the language, and you kind of have to make your way amongst the people. So you're meeting those who do speak the language and then can help you translate things, and that opens up more quests to you and such because now you can communicate. But you're basically coming to terms with what's going on, in the story and with this war that's being initiated, and doing what you can to help the people out who were like the normal citizens who are going to be, you know, caught up in this whole thing. What can you do to help them and maybe prevent things from happening?
Yeah. The language element sounded interesting in terms of not being able to understand people at first.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it ends up being a little more gimmicky, I think, so much that it's more like, well, here's this little town and we don't want you to have access to all the side quests at once. So we're going to make it so you can't understand people. And then as you learn the language, now those are open. And as you do those, you build your group's morale. You do pick up other people as you go along. And once your morale's high enough, then you're able to get more quests. A lot of them are just fetch quest kind of things. You're running around the town finding certain items. So the main focus on the story is the story itself, the characters and this unique take on war that we're being presented with. And I mentioned there are two types of battles. There are turn-based battles where every night, again, you're thrown into a fight against somebody. And it's all the battles are all story-driven, going back to random battles. None of that here. There's nothing that's fluff. It's like, if you need to have combat right now in this story, we're going to have you do a fight. It's the turn-based battles themselves are pretty typical. But then there's also a sniping element. This guy is a sniper. So his skills come into play every now and again, where it's one of those things where there'll be someone standing, you're looking through your scope and finding the target. And then the crosshairs like wavers a little bit. So you can't get like perfect precision. You need to fire at the right time, get the controller in the right time, so as it waves, it goes over across the target, and then you shoot at the, you know, when you need to actually make the hit.
Interesting. Yeah, and your review's online for that one right now, actually, so
yep.
Listeners can check it out. You did give it a pretty good score from memory. I think it was like an 8 or something.
Yep. Yeah. It was an 8. Again, based mostly on the story. It's easy to get drawn up in it, in the story and with these characters. And it's a quick game. You can finish it in about 10 to 15 hours. So I think it's worth it, especially in, you know, these times when we've got just so many conflicts going on, ones. Then, you know, here's one that takes the point of view of a soldier who decides that the people are more important than the governments and the military.
Yeah, definitely sounds interesting. Yeah, worth checking out. And did you say that was on sale as well?
Yes. Let's see, I just had it here. It is, well, yeah, it's normally $25.99 and through November 23rd, so not long, about five, $19.99, so 20% off.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's a nice segue into sales to wrap the show up, because it is that time of year. Thanksgiving is coming up. I believe that's next Thursday, right? Thursday is Thanksgiving. Is that correct? Yep. Yes. And then that is followed by Black Friday, of course. That's the crazy time of year when there are lots of sales. And so there's just so many discounts at the moment. And was the Grace of L'Etoile also on sale?
Oh, you asked me too quickly.
I'm
pretty sure that it was.
It's just that it has the word sale in brackets after my notes. So I figured it must be on sale.
Yeah, I must have checked and then forgot.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, while looking that up, I can tell you a couple of sales that I noticed that I thought were pretty good. And one of them is Castlevania Collection, which is a game I've had my eye on for some time and is normally $30. This could be Australian dollars, sorry, but it's $3 right now. It's 90% off. I just bought it today. I haven't tried it yet. Wow. But it has, I think, like 6 or 7 games in this collection. It's got, I think, Castlevania 1, 2, 3, and 4, I believe, plus a couple of maybe Game Boy entries. There's a lot. There's a lot in this collection. And even the second collection, which I think is Castlevania Advance Collection, I think it's called, is also on sale. Not quite as heavily discounted. I think that one's more like 60% off. But for $3, I was like, I need to get this today. So I jumped on that right away. So, 90% off. So if you're a Castlevania fan and you do not have Castlevania Collection, jump on that. The other one I noticed was a little game that I think was on... Was it a 3DS title? Gunman Clive 1 and 2? I think it was a 3DS title.
Maybe even before that, was it? Maybe, yeah, definitely older games that have been updated.
Yeah. So I think they were maybe DS, if not 3DS. And this is the HD collection that was released in 2019. And we did review that on Pure Nintendo's website if you want to check it out. But it's not a super expensive game to start with, but it is on sale right now for $2, which means you can get two pretty great platforming games for a really good price. So that's also one I thought was worth checking out. How did we go with Grace of L'Etoile?
It is on sale, but it's only a 10% sale. So I think it's saving you a dollar. It's like like normally $14.99, now $13.
Okay. That's probably like a more like a new game deal than a Thanksgiving deal, probably. Yeah, cool. So Black Friday is coming up. I know Nintendo has listed quite a few specials that they're going to be putting out on Black Friday, which are more like your kind of console bundles, I believe, are being discounted. But there are still a heap of eShop discounts already in motion, and there'll be plenty more coming later this week, which we'll probably wrap up in our usual eShop roundup that usually comes out sort of Friday-ish. So stay tuned for that. But was there any other sales that caught your attention currently?
There's one I just looked up because we were talking about Gunman Clive. The developer of that also released a game called Mextermination Force, is sort of along the lines of that, except it's like all boss battles. You're fighting a series of giant robots.
Wow.
And it's for one or two people. And the game is very much like you have to play it till you figure out what the robot's patterns are and then use those against them as you find weak spots. We reviewed that here at Pure Nintendo a while back. The game came out in April of 2019. But I loved it. It's a great game. And if you like Gunman Clive or those kind of action platformer, well, not platformer, just action arcade games, do check it out. It's great.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. I do remember that we reviewed it. I haven't tried it myself, but that's 60% off. That's a very good deal.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool. And it's sort of, giant robots. So it's all boss battles. Is that right?
Yeah. It's literally just the giant robots. Now that, you'll attack them for a while and they'll run off, and then you got to kind of jump around through cityscapes to get back to them and get your attacks going again. But
that looks so cool. Yeah. Is it hard?
Yes. It's one of those games that's really hard until you really find that weakness and are able to isolate it. And then you're like, okay, now I know I'll just kind of hang back here and then go charge in. Although even then, it takes an awful lot of skill to be able to go in and get the attacks. And it's really frustrating. It's like one of those things where you're so close to taking them out.
Yeah.
And then you end up dying and you have to go back to the start. So.
Wow. How many bosses are there, do you think?
I think 8. It's been a while since I've played it, but when I was looking at it, I was thinking the number 8.
And it's 2-player, right?
Yes. Yeah. 1 or 2. Yep.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a good one to check out, I think. Yeah. Nice.
So other than that, what I always do is whenever there's a game that I'm interested in, obviously I'll heard it at Nintendo's website. I'll make it a favorite. And then you tend to get email notifications from them when a game goes on sale. So there's a couple I'm waiting on. Like we talked about Sea of Stars earlier is a game I really want to play. And the moment that hits any kind of sale at all, I'll probably jump on that, but not yet.
Yeah, nice. I did notice, I think Warner Brothers titles were on sale again this week. So that's kind of all the Lego games especially, and a few others. They seem to go on sale a lot, to be honest, but They are on sale right now. I did notice a lot of the Lego Star Wars DLC packs were quite cheap, so I'll probably pick up a few of those because we've got some when we bought the game. You know, we bought the kind of deluxe edition, whatever it was. But there's a few new packs that we haven't got. So, yeah, that's another one to check out if you're interested in Lego games or Warner Brothers games. I just wanted to ask you because, you know, Thanksgiving is not a thing here in Australia. And we talked a lot about Halloween games in October. There's obviously Christmas games coming out. Is there such a thing as Thanksgiving games? Is that a thing? Have you ever seen a Thanksgiving game?
No, I don't. I don't think so. Thanksgiving has kind of become our forgotten holiday. It's wedged between the very fun Halloween and the very fun Christmas. Right. So, yeah, it's more just an excuse to take some time off, do some shopping, and eat some food.
Okay. All right, so that sounds good. It's just, you know, over here, I only ever hear about it in sort of movies, I suppose, or TV shows, and it seems like such a big deal. Like, there's a whole big turkey roast, whatever. I don't know. It just seems like a huge deal, but it's just a kind of a day off, I guess.
From a family standpoint, it is. From a marketing standpoint, where they're having, like, you know, Thanksgiving sales and decorating the stores and trying to get you to buy stuff, then, no, it's, you know, we jump right from Halloween to Christmas.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So what are the stores decorated in right now? Christmas stuff? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's
the,
like here.
The moment they put away the pumpkins, the Christmas trees go up.
Yeah, that's like here. We don't, I mean, Halloween is not as big as over there, but it is growing and it is bigger than it was when I was a kid. So there are Halloween decorations, and as soon as Halloween's done, it's straight to Christmas. So
it's kind of a harvest thing. Yeah, you guys, it's not your harvest season right now, right?
I don't know what harvest season means, but is that like,
like in the old days when you'd go out and all the plants you've been growing on the farms, over the summer, now you're getting all your corn, you're putting it aside for the winter.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry. That's something I'm familiar with. I'd say everything is dying because it's so hot. So like all the plants are probably, it's probably not growing season right now, I'd say. Yeah, not where I am anyway. and the other quick thing I wanted to mention was, according to Nintendo, and this is the thing, I did Google it, it's National Princess Day. Well, okay, let me preface by saying we're recording on the 18th of November, which is apparently National Princess Day. This episode will air on the 20th. I don't know what National Princess Day is. I've never heard of it. But it's a good enough reason to say, hey, I like Princess Daisy. In Mario Kart and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. But no, I'd not heard this before. Had you?
In the US, it's National Princess Day?
It was on Nintendo's press release for the eShop update. They're like, it's Princess Day. Go play Mario Kart, you know.
We don't have any princesses here.
No, you don't.
National Fictional Princess Day, maybe.
It sounds like it. Maybe it's a Disney thing. Maybe they, I don't know. You know, if listeners know the origins of this day, please let us know. otherwise, no. I can't believe we've already hit the hour mark. That's gone really quickly. But did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap things up?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I guess I'll wish a happy Thanksgiving to all of our North American listeners, and to everyone else. You're not missing a whole lot except for some good food.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Kirk, and to everyone who is celebrating the season. So and thank you for listening. And we'd love to know your thoughts on the show and on any of the games that we've mentioned. If you're a fan and you want to talk about them or want us to talk about them, let us know. We are about to send out our next edition of the Pure Nintendo Magazine. So subscribers, keep an eye on your mailboxes. They should be with you this week. And if you want to jump aboard, you can head over to patreon.com/purenintendo for our next edition, which we will be starting very soon. And you should see that early next year. We'll be sending that one out, but we'll give you updates along the way. And in the meantime, thank you, Kirk. Thank you, listeners. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, game on, everybody. Bye.